When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
You just tried to make armpit farting sounds, and then the sad and pathetic part is no sound came out. Wait. Oh, one works. You're like the vein in your temple is gonna explode. Well, you note to self, your right armpit worked. Oh, that was a great one. No. Kind of sounding perverted, probably.
Oh, God, it's so disgusting.
We should probably stop. But you got one.
Can you imagine if we just had that sound and do what you like to do? Let's not say anything.
Well, I don't like to do it regularly. It was an exercise, Janice.
You've done it twice
getting
now.
Comfortable
twice.
With being uncomfortable. Because you're still not there. You're still not comfortable with being uncomfortable. That sounds disgusting. We should stop. God forbid other people think other things.
This is a big hit show. I better get professional.
Oof. Oh yeah, that's gonna happen. Jesus. Do you know what? My daughter has this book, and I can't remember the name of it. It's not Everybody Poops, but it's something like Everybody Farts, and it's got like a little keypad on it, and it's like 1 through 10, and then it goes through all the animals. Giraffes and elephants and rhinos and cats and dogs, and it has their farts on it. She doesn't fully comprehend exactly what's going on, but I make her read that damn book every night before bedtime because it makes me so happy.
Could you email me the name of that?
I will. It's
Please
the best
do. That's
book
so
ever.
Funny. Love that.
Yeah. What am I supposed to do?
You're doing a fitnessy thing.
Oh, okay. These are boring. I think you're the only one that likes these fitnessy segments.
I think, no. Jake, I noticed.
Why don't you get on your Twitter and ask?
Okay, I will. I haven't been on the Twitter for a while because I've been in deep depression, but I will get
You
on
can't
it.
Just throw that out there and then not explain it. I was going to do a snappy segment, and then you said, I've been in deep depression, and now we're screwed and we have to explain
it. I'll edit that out.
No, explain it.
No, I seriously will edit that out. Really, I will.
No. What are you talking about?
No, because it's not fitnessy.
Of course it's not. Well, which I just told you was boring. But you being in a deep depression, now that's got meat. If it's something that's interesting as to why, go ahead.
Oh,
go on.
I've torn my MCL, And it's taken me into a place where I don't like to be, because I'm can't do what I like to live my life a certain way, and I can't the last little while, and it's incredibly, incredibly humbling and frustrating.
This is actually a good segment. This is way better than one of your boring snappy fitness segments.
Well, I don't,
because think about how many people sustain an injury and get depressed and feel helpless and out of control and like they can't take care of themselves.
But you know, it's more than that.
It's the worst. It's so hard. I have an answer. I have a solution. But let's really bring it all the way down to the bottom. Let's hit rock bottom with it. Then I'll fix everything.
Well, what's bothered me more is where I went with it. I truly thought, I think of myself as a fairly, I've done a lot of work on myself. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of therapy. I've done some recovery work. You know, I've done a lot of work. And how quickly I went into the efforts. That's what blew me away. Like when I injured it, and then I went to physio right away and blah, blah, blah. I can't do this, can't do that. You're going to have to just take time off. So how I automatically hit the food thing.
Oh, wow.
And how I hit, and I don't do that. I can keep very disciplined, but like, boom. And then I just went, I have that. Oh, F it then. I'm not going to be able to do it. And I just went, and how fast you can spiral into the F it's. I call it the F it's because I don't want to say the spiral.
No, I like the F it's. That's good. Maybe I'll use that.
But how quickly I went to that behavior. And, you know, like when we have old behavior that we live with, how fast.
Oh, my God.
It's like a... It's like it's always sitting on your shoulder.
Of course it is.
And you think you work at it to curb it.
It always is. It's so true. Ram Dass guy, he big spiritual guru, was like, think you're evolved, go home for the weekend. As in like, you know, to your parents' house.
Your
but
family.
The idea is essentially that like these things are always living within you. They always do. And it's every single day. It's a matter of like being consciously aware of them, having go-to recovery behaviors to help you do battle with these old foes. And the more you do battle with them, the more familiar you are with how to defeat them or to get around them or to manage them, so to speak. But you, Janice, you, I think, go to the efforts because it's you have a real hard time with that. Just anything that represents a loss for you is just, I think, is so hard. So you will immediately go to like, F it, I don't want to get attached to it, which is exactly what I was talking about with regard to happiness. Mm. But you are just, forget it. I won't date. I won't this. I won't that. Because you just can't stand. That's so hard for you.
Well, I mean, getting back to the knee, of course. No, but I just, what I think is the thing is, when you have some old behavior, it's not that you have to always live your life with your guard up. Oh, that old behavior's coming back. But in a way you do. You have to be conscious.
You have to be aware when it does.
And diligent when it does.
And you have to recognize it when it does. First, you need to know the pattern and know your issues. Then when you see it coming up, you need to have a game plan for how to contend with it. We call it recovery behavior. We talk about it all the time. Like, oh, my God, okay, I'm going to the fridge again because I'm depressed about blah, 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 and feeling anxious. So what are my go-to behaviors to help me contend with this?
In between here
and even
the
even though it's behavioral stuff, the deeper work is understanding why you do it and then you getting to a place where you know that you can withstand this period of helplessness and that it doesn't diminish or devalue you and that you can find other ways to be in control. So, for example, when you do have – I've been there, man. I remember I fell off a horse. I think I've talked about this before, of course.
Oh, in your shoulder.
Not my beloved Buzz.
Right.
But it was a different horse. And, I screwed up my shoulder so bad. And it was screwed up for years. But for the longest time, I couldn't use my arm. And I mean, I couldn't use my arm. And I was used to doing inverted push-ups and all kinds of stuff. And I just thought, oh, my God, I can't box with my contestants. I can't work out in the way that I work out. Mm-hmm. I can't do anything. And it was the hardest. I felt out of control and helpless. And especially, or like when you're sick. You know, I get friggin' pneumonia, for God's sake, that goes on for 3 months at this point in my life. But it's just, with that said, you can, okay, things like that, you can find ways to take control in other areas. So let's just speak literally for anybody who's going through this. If you have an injury of any kind, it can be worked around. So, Jay, you know you can get in the pool, obviously, and you love to swim.
Soon, I can't do. There's certain strokes I can't. I'm not allowed to yet, but soon I can do, and I have to just kick this way. Like, I can't kick this way.
So freestyle swimming.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And can you do things like...
I can do upper body.
And can you get on an elliptical and use just the arms or no?
I
How about rowing?
I could probably strap
put your
my
feet
leg
feet on the ground.
I can't bend. I haven't got full range yet.
Both feet on the ground and row just upper body rowing.
Oh, yeah.
I've done that with contestants a million times. So try freestyle swimming, upper body rowing. You can still do upper body weights.
Yes.
Okay. And what about, did they say you can do a recumbent bike? No, go.
I can't. I tried.
Can't rotate the knee. Okay. How about shadow boxing upper body?
Oh, I've never done that.
You just can't rotate that back leg.
Shadow boxing.
Yeah. But you can lead with the left foot. Can you bear weight on it or no?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then you can box because it's your left knee, right?
Yep.
Okay, and your right foot's back, so the foot that would need to pivot for the most part is the right foot. You can box. Hit the pads, and it'll help you get out frustration. So...
but you're absolutely right. If you list it, what you can do, there are things you can do. However, if you get into that pit...
I know.
You got to get out of your pit first.
Well, okay, so here'd be my answer. Before you get in the pit, look to see, okay... What are my options? And then when you're going, okay, I'm in the pit, what can you turn to for comfort? So if it's, you know, is there that good friend you can call? Is there something you love to do? You know, again, for me, it would be riding my horse. You might be able to ride. I'm not sure with that knee. I don't know that you particularly love that. I do know you like to clean poop out of the barn, though, because you...
Yeah, no, I couldn't be able to... I know there's.
Well, Jay. Okay, behaviorally speaking, you got to look for the solution, right?
See, that's
behaviorally speaking.
Right.
But then the deeper psychology part isn't allowing you to do that. Because so how do you, when you say "F it," why are you saying "F it"? What's coming up for you?
Because it's self pity. Of course it is.
No,
it's self pity.
No. Why are you saying "F it"? F what? F the effort?
F trying to... Okay, well, you know I have a voracious appetite, and I pride myself. I can eat a lot of food. The reason I can eat a lot of food is because I work my ass off exercising.
You're completely going in a different direction. F what?
F... I'm done. This doesn't make sense.
F what?
F it all.
Okay, so F... What is it? What is it all? Your happiness? Your health? Your what?
Life.
F your life.
F life.
You want to give up on life. Okay. All right. And then why are you giving up on life? Because it feels like it won't be worth living with this injury?
Because it's just going to be a long road back and I can't maintain my lifestyle.
Right. So it feels like it won't be worth living with this injury.
No, it's not. Life isn't
fun. So it's a loss.
Life is not fun with this injury.
Right.
Right.
So there's a loss involved.
Oh, you're digging this loss thing. Why do you want to go here?
Because
with the loss?
Because here's my point. I can give you all these behavioral things to help you, right?
Yes.
But on the same thing, you didn't go to them. And that means, obviously, you also have to look at the deeper issue. So if you're like, I can't deal with this loss, I'm not going to be able to contend with this loss, so I'm going to throw in the towel. Because the loss is obviously overwhelming you to a point of not being able to see solutions.
True.
Okay.
True.
Okay. So then what that means is you need to work on being able to contend with the loss and understand that you're strong enough to overcome it, that you're strong enough to find meaning in this, and it will be okay. You don't have any internalized sense that it will be okay. And that's your problem. You have an internalized... we deal with this with my daughter all the time, right? Putting her to bed. And it doesn't matter. I've tried everything. She'll fall asleep in my arms. I've tried everything. Everything. I've tried, like, letting her cry it out. I've tried putting her to sleep in my arms. All of it. Doesn't matter what I do. No matter when that kid hits the crib, she's hysterical. Okay? Hysterical. She does not want to go to bed. Doesn't matter if I'm in the room. Doesn't matter. And my shrink, I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do. It's just I've tried it. And he said, you know, over time, she feels this separation from you, right?
Mm-hmm.
That over time, she's going to get to a place where she's internalized you. And she knows that you're always there, that you're inside of her, and she'll be okay being alone because she'll always feel that love for you. Okay, but if something goes wrong with that process in our lives, we haven't internalized that good mother. I'm not talking about your mother mm-hmm. per se, but that sense of safety, that sense that everything will be okay, that sense that it's, you know, there's enough in the world. If you haven't internalized that from your early childhood experience, then it's not there within you as an adult, and it's something you have to really work on. I'm telling you that you don't feel inside, you haven't internalized a sense that this is going to be okay. And this loss to you feels, oh my God, this isn't going to be okay. I'm not going to be able to take it, so screw it. But if you did have that sense of, this is going to be okay, I'm strong enough to take this. Now then, let's look at the solutions. Then we could turn to the behavioral stuff. Do you see my point?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
So
I do.
You got to look at why you're saying F it. And then you got to look at, like, okay, Janice, what other things have you been through that have been hard, and how has it turned out positive in your favor, right? How have you found meaning in it, and how has it been okay? What other things have you survived before? Is this going to kill you? No. Mm-hmm. How are the ways it could make you smarter, stronger, wiser? Is it just going to suck? Maybe. But, you know, there's trying to find that meaning and that sense that it will be okay and you will survive it. And that's my point.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't have that.
No, I obviously don't. Obviously I don't, because I just thought I was stronger. I thought I was stronger than that. I don't mean physically, stronger in my awareness. I'm disappointed that I did go there in that way.
Wrong thing to do.
Right, exactly.
That's the absolute worst thing to do. So instead of, again, internalizing a sense of, like, I'm strong enough, I'm okay, everything's going to be okay, you then add insult to injury and start being disappointed in yourself and beating yourself up when you're already having an internal sense that it isn't going to be okay.
Right.
It's it's like me going into my daughter's room when she's crying and she's scared and going, you know what? I am so damn disappointed in you that you're scared right now and you feel separated from me. Like, I'm not going to come back. What the hell is the matter with you? You are weak and stupid. Can you imagine? It's the same thing, though. It is the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing.
Sorry, that's a funny image.
But that is exactly it. Yeah. She's in there, hysterical, right? And you go in, baby, mommy loves you. Everything's okay. It's night-night time. 10 minutes. She goes night-night. It's okay, night-night. Mommy comes back in the morning. Oh, my God, we made it through the night. Mommy loves me. Mommy's still here. Everything's okay. We constantly, it's like, okay, mommy's here. Everything. Imagine if I walked in and was like, you idiot, shut up. I am so disappointed in your fear and your weakness and your... Can you imagine? Not helping, Janice. So, here's my point, people. You build a set of behaviors that you can turn to, okay? Recovery behaviors, things that make you happy, things that make you feel comforted, ways that you can work around the injury or the issue that's hobbling you and gain control over various aspects of your life, because you still can. But if you're so debilitated by your fear or disappointment that it isn't going to be okay or you're not going to survive it, you won't have the fortitude to turn to the recovery behaviors. And that's when you need to look at, okay, what am I afraid of? What is upsetting me so much? Wow, that's really valid. Poor me. Pat yourself on the back. Have a moment of sympathy, because it does suck. Mm-hmm. Validate your feelings, just in the way that I would validate my daughter being upset,
right,
but still reassure her. I get it, babe. It's so hard to go to bed. I don't like going to bed either. Blah, 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 but mommy loves you, and tomorrow's, I'm going to get you in the morning, and blah, 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 and I reassure her. Then it's like, you know what? You've been through hard times before, and you've survived them. Give yourself examples. You know, and what can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? Give yourself examples. Can I bring a meaning to this? Give yourself examples. And then turn to the comfort. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
You are going about this all wrong. Not that it's new. You can't beat up on you, but I can have a field day.
No, but
have you learned something?
I have.
Okay, good. All right. This is kind of a mom segment. I remember when I wasn't a mom and everything was geared toward moms, I used to feel so left out. So I'm trying not to do that so much, but it is kind of a mom segment,
okay,
although I can apply it to adults as well. Ready?
Okay.
All right. It's about making your own cereal. Wait, no, let me tell you why this is so genius. Okay. Because when they want Fruit Loops or like Cookie Crisp or all that crap because it's colorful and it's sweet. Instead, you can make it fun for them because they can create their own cereal that's going to be colorful and tasty, but they can make up the flavors, they can make up the colors, and build their own sort of cereal, but it'll be healthy. So it's like a game, but it's good for them. And now as an adult, essentially it's just, you know, it's fun because it tastes good. But ready? So here's the idea.
Okay,
you start with either one of two bases. So you can either start out with like little grains, like grain flakes, just straight up flakes, like Nature's Valley whole grain flakes, like a Raisin Bran-y kind of a flake, right? Or you can start out with like puffed rice, the little, which is very sort of, you know, the puffed rice, like Pops used to make, you know.
Yeah.
Little, that's sort of, you know. So your base could be anything from like corn, barley, grain flakes, puffs, rice, oh, you know, that kind of thing. Just start with a plain base, which is lay your foundation. Really, really easy. Now, let's talk about the milk. I hate soy milk, and I implore you not to use it. However, if you use organic dairy, I'm fine with that. My issue with dairy are the hormones and the antibiotics. And if you've ever seen a dairy cow, truly Google a dairy cow that's been on hormones and it's the size of a bus. So you really, this is why 9-year-olds are friggin', you know, getting their periods and why everybody's having children. You ever notice when you were a kid, the average was like 6 pounds, 7 pounds, 8 pounds when you were born. Now it's like the average size child is like 8 to 11 pounds. They're enormous. My cousin's kid was 10 pounds. My son, and Heidi worked out and we ate as well as possible, he was 9 pounds. Nine. My kid. And because, you know, we still ate out a lot. And there was one thing I couldn't get off of Heidi's diet that she tried to kill me when I tried to take it away. It was ice cream. I know. Anyway, my point is, I don't like, please, if you go dairy, go organic. If not, coconut milk, my very favorite option. Medium chain fatty acids, incredible for you. Calcium, magnesium, vitamin D, love, love, love. Or almond milk is also a great option. I personally don't love the taste of it. Mm-hmm. Rumor has it that I guess Blue Diamond has a brand, I think, of coconut milk that's supposed to be good. Less grainy. Rice milk, what's the point? No nutrition.
So rice milk is so boring.
Yeah. Ugh. And if you do almond, you have to do organic because almonds have like a gazillion types of pesticides on them, and a lot of them are genetically modified. That's why I like coconut milk the best. But with that said, organic dairy is fine. Coconut milk or organic almond milk, I think, are the three best options. Avoid soy, rice, what's the point? So you can start with the milk. I use vanilla-flavored coconut milk, so it already has a little vanilla flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? Okay. Now, the next thing that you can get into are like nuts and seeds. So you can add some ground up flax to get your omegas. You can add a little bit of hemp in there to get your omegas, but without the estrogen. You can use almond slivers, walnuts. So you get all your healthy omegas and heart healthy fats and all that stuff, but you can calorie control it. Okay. So you can add nuts to it. Now, another thing that you can do are you can add spice. You can give it a little
kind of spice.
Okay, so see, now you're interested. So you can add cinnamon.
Mm-hmm.
You can add ginger. You can add nutmeg. You can add cloves. And all these things are great for your health. They're great for blood pressure, diabetes. I mean, gosh, they're antimicrobial. They're great for seriously, ginger, nutmeg, cloves, cinnamon.
I love cinnamon.
Cinnamon's the best thing on the planet for you, a great exaggeration, but it's really good for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can add spice to it. Or then, of course, we can get into fruit. I prefer you add fresh fruit versus dried fruit, obviously, because of the sugar content. So when fruit dries, it's got significantly more sugar than fresh fruit. So I prefer you go with fruit and think about your options here. We have blueberries, raspberries, blackberries, strawberries. And then you can get into bananas. I mean, I've even added peaches to my cereal before.
Oh, yeah.
Because peaches are in season right now.
Oh, my God.
So good. So, like, one of the things I'll do is I'll take peaches, my vanilla coconut milk, and a little bit of, believe it or not, cinnamon. And it is, like, heavens, like peaches and cream. So, so good on rice puffs. Love. So think about how creative you can get here. And you can make it fun. So when you're dealing with the fruits, the nuts, the spices, the milk, and the foundation, you've got all the creativity in the world. Plus, it's healthy. Plus, it's calorie controlled. And it's fun for your kids, and you can make it any flavor they like.
Hmm? Yeah, that's good.
But adults, too. You were intrigued for a second there.
I was. No, because I like all those tastes.
Can you blow my whistle, baby, let me know. Girl, I'm gonna show you how to do it, and we start real slow. You just put your lips together, and you come real close. Can you blow my whistle, baby, here we go.
I know you want probably something on fitness, diet, whatever.
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Well, fine. So, I've mentioned before that I spend a lot of my time reading, like, current research and just trying to keep up to date, up to speed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought I might share a little bit of these studies with you guys so you can kind of see, you know, over the years reading these studies, it really has helped me develop my methodology and philosophy with regard to anything from nutrition to fitness. Now, these are just sort of some fun things I thought I'd share with you. Maybe they'll help you guys.
Okay.
Now, this one I've actually mentioned to you before, but in case you missed it, and to sort of show you where and why I come up with this information, the first study is from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and it's on stretching. And it's about static stretching versus dynamic stretching. So a static stretch is essentially a motionless stretch, right? Like if you laid on the ground and you reached forward, touched your toes and held it. That's a static stretch. A dynamic stretch is something like a knee pull or a leg swing. When you move through a range of motion, not necessarily fast pace, you're essentially warming up the body, but moving the body through the range of motion that you're going to be utilizing during the exercise, okay?
Okay?
It's dynamic. You don't hold it. You don't bounce it either. It's not a ballistic stretch, but it's a dynamic stretch. So I always talk about doing dynamic stretching for your warm-up. Well, this study looked at two groups of people. One group did static and one group did dynamic stretches for 10 minutes before their workout. And, of course, the people who stretched dynamically showed significantly greater quadricep and hamstring flexibility and strength during their workouts. Whereas, subsequently, the people that stretched statically showed lesser strength in their workouts. And, well, the reason for this is because, apparently, when you're stretching statically, it is a form of a contraction, and your body is... in a static stretch, it's actually attempting to resist the stretch for fear of injury. So
right.
There's a way to put this in a very sort of trainer speak. But really what's happening is your muscle is saying like, oh, I don't want to go further. I don't want to go further. I'm afraid of injury. And it's actually contracting and it's trying to resist. So it actually decreases your flexibility and your strength during your workout. Whereas range of motion stuff is fluid and it essentially turns on your proprioceptive nerve function, nerve patterning,
mm-hmm.
gets your body ready for the work and it increases strength and flexibility.
Yep. No, that makes sense.
Trying not to speak too technically so it makes me sound like an idiot.
No, it makes sense. No.
Anyway, there's that one. So, dynamic stretches with your warm-up, not static stretch.
Right.
And, of course, I always prefer, you can do that prior to cardio. I like to do dynamic stretching and cardio mixed together. So, for example, like if you do any of my DVDs, I'll do jumping jacks with a dynamic stretch into butt kicks, which actually is a dynamic stretch, or high knees or jump rope with a dynamic stretch. So I blend my dynamic stretches with cardio, which I believe is the perfect warm up. All right. Are you ready for the next one?
Yep.
Jaybird. Here we go. Okay. Let me tell you who did this study. McMaster University, according to scientists at McMaster University. I'm sure you guys are going, oh, McMaster University. That's credible. Not the point. McMaster University did a study about a short post-workout massage and how or if it speeds muscle recovery. So what they found is that cyclists who did a 10-minute leg massage after they exercised significantly decreased their post-exercise inflammation. And then they saw improvements in mitochondrial function. And basically all that means is they had increased healing from the workout, better recovery, and faster recovery. So for those of you who are thinking, where am I going to get a 10-minute massage? I don't know what she's talking about right now. Get yourself a foam roller and roll out your muscles after you train them. I actually prefer the foam roller to static stretching after a workout. So I like dynamic stretching with cardio to warm up, and I like the foam roller instead of static stretching
to cool down.
Yeah, so there you go. That's how you can implement that bad boy. Now then, sleep. This one's kind of obvious. All right, this one's from the Mayo Clinic. And researchers found that shortchanging slumber by as little as 80 minutes leads people to taking an average of 550 more calories the next day. That's a lot. That's a lot of calories. That's over a pound a week.
Just from
80 minutes, like an hour and 20 minutes.
Wow.
And let me tell you, I'm taking that hit with the kids. Oh, my God. Oh, it's killing me. And I notice a huge difference. And it says even a small amount of sleep deprivation can have a big impact on your appetite. So this suggests or advises that you turn the alarm clock off on a weekend and just let yourself sleep see how much sleep your body actually needs and then try to stick to it by getting to bed earlier. It's again, it's tough when you have kids. I've discovered that. It was so funny, though. Today, I actually woke up when I woke up. I woke up at 7:22 and I thought my daughter must have died. I was like, oh, my God, she's dead. Where's Mackenzie at? Because I haven't woken up at 7:22 in 2 months now. She usually wakes up at like 6.
And she didn't wake up.
No. But we blacked out. We blacked out everything in her room, and she has a little nightlight. I blacked everything out. I was like, please, God.
Oh, that's interesting.
Please sleep. So I think she's slowly getting there, but she's been waking me up around 6. If you look at that's 80 minutes of sleep. So, yeah. I mean, again, do everything you can. It's no secret. We've talked about how important sleep is on the show, but there's a little information for you. Huh?
Well,
in case you need it.
It makes information when you're gaining 500 cal, you know what I mean?
550. Gosh, and I got to tell you, I notice it, man. I'm like, why am I not done? You know, because I usually allow myself to have like X amount of sweets a day. And I'm going back to I'm just like, why am I doing, God? And I try to think, did I not eat as much today? What is it? And it's absolutely the lack of sleep. It's killing me. Killing me. All right. Now, for those of you who are environmentally savvy and use your little canvas bag to do your grocery shopping, a survey from the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics found that 15% of people who use their, a scant 15% of people regularly launder their carryalls, their little bags, their canvas totes.
Yeah, why would you wash it?
Because it gets bacteria.
Really?
Yeah. And it could be really bad. It harbors bacteria and causes cross-contamination with your new food.
Wow.
Yeah. So you need to...
But that would only be if you put meat in it or something, though.
Not necessarily. Think about it. E. coli. They found E. coli in spinach and cucumbers and all kinds of stuff. No, you should... They're right.
Oh, I never thought to wash my little sack.
Well, now you know.
Okay. I never thought. Okay.
Yeah. So they say after like 2 shopping trips, make sure to wash it off. After this, I don't know. Sounds like 1, but yeah. Yeah. Okay. Ready for your next one, Janice?
Yep.
All right. It's another exercise one. So in a 3-month Canadian study, early bird athletes performed better during AM competitions, while evening exercisers excelled in competitions around dusk. Now, what they discovered is that when you consistently work out at the same time, your body is trained to release testosterone and adrenaline during that period. So essentially, because those hormones help your muscles process energy more efficiently and lead to strength and power, you're going to, you know, the people that exercise in the morning did better in the morning competitions and so on and so forth. So here's the lesson to you. People always say to me, when's the best time to work out, Jill? When's the best time to work out? And I've always said, you know, whenever you can fit it in. If you work out at night and it keeps you up, work out in the morning. But the reality is it looks now like you create the best time for your body to work out. So the answer would be consistently. Whenever you work out, try to do it consistently because your body's already releasing fat-burning, strength-enhancing hormones. So try to keep it consistent no matter when you choose.
But that could also help you when you're training. Let's say you're training for a half marathon or whatever, or a 10K. you know race time is at either 8 a.m. or 9
right.
a.m.
Look at
so
you.
But I never thought
Look
about.
At you contributing.
Why would you train?
Look at you.
Why would you train at 5 p.m. if all your training, or if you've been training at 5 p.m., you're not going to be able to kick in.
You're right.
To the 10K at the 9 a.m. start.
Look at you, Janice. Now, for those of you who are thinking that's not possible, I fit it in when I can fit it in. I have to say kudos, and I don't blame
right.
you. I fit it in when I can fit it in, too. But in a perfect world, that's apparently the answer, as of the current Canadian research. Woo! All right, last one. It's about cravings. So, this one was published by the Journal of Consumer Research. It showed that 80% of women who use the phrase, "I don't eat that," were able to resist foods not on their plan, while only 10% who said, "I can't eat it," were successful in avoiding temptation. So essentially, it's about being empowered. So when you say, "I can't," it means you're not able to. You can't. You're not allowed. It's triggering feelings of deprivation. But when you say, "I don't," you're saying you've consciously chosen. See the difference?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. Well, Tony Robbins does this, neuro-linguistic programming, NLP. It's really big for a lot of life coaches. I never had the attention span to think it through appropriately. But
right.
it's instead of saying things like, "God, that is so hard," about an exercise, you might say something like, "Well, it's not easy, but it's doable." You follow me?
Yes, I do.
Because when you say it's so hard, it gets in your mind as really hard. But if it's not easy, but...
God, we have to be so conscious about everything. Where's
the
freedom in life?
Well, you don't.
No, but it makes sense.
But study says, if you think about the way you speak to yourself.
So I say, "Oh, mama, don't do that."
Yeah.
Instead of, "Mama can't do that."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh?
Gosh. I'm good. It does make sense.
Yeah. Anyway. I'm done.
Oh, good. All right. Sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to quite sound that excited.
Oh, my God. Didn't I get you lunch and a coffee today? And still you talk back.
You did.
Let me be really clear. I pay for things so that you don't get to have an opinion.
Gosh.
Just like everyone else in my life.
All right.
All right? So, take your coffee and keep your opinion to yourself.
Shut my pie hole, okay?
What's next?
I don't know.
I bet you don't know.
Another email question? We tried to call Anna. She's in England. And for some reason, our system, we're not able to call England. So
we're cheap, I guess.
We didn't pay the bill.
We didn't pay the phone
bill.
Anyway,
so it's too, but I think her question is really cool. So Anna says,
"Yeah,
how do you overcome jealousy of close friends who have better bodies, more confident, and are hotter than you? How do you stop comparing yourself to others and focus on yourself and your own body?"
Yeah, that's hard. You know, for a lot of years, I have friends that were more fit than me, better looking than me. I mean, my friend Vanessa could eat like whatever she wanted, and she was always one of like Maxim's hottest 100 women in the world. Okay. And I wanted to kill her half the time, despite the fact that I loved her. But you know something, here's the problem. The key, she said the key in the email, how do you stop comparing yourself? Because that is the key. You need to stop comparing yourself. If you compare yourself to anybody across a wide variety or wide sort of array of aspects of life, it could be this person's more successful than me. This person makes more money than me. This person has a better body than me. I mean, we could look at every single individual and find something they do better than us if we were seeking to compare. And then I would say, if you want to play that game, I'm sure there are things that are that you're better at than your friends. If you really want to do that, maybe you're smarter than them. Maybe you're more successful than them. Maybe you have more friends than they do. Who knows? But the reality is we are all on our own path. And a comparison truly only sets you up to feel like crap. It's a losing game. Mm-hmm. So I get it. You know, here's what my shrink said to me about envy and jealousy. He's like, these are great things because they tell you what you want. You know,
yeah.
I remember I was super jealous of people that were getting talk shows before me. And I was like, I don't understand. Like, I have just as much this and just as much that. And I've sold more books and I get more magazine covers and blah, 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 blah. And like, they got the show before I got the show. And I was like, I hate that I feel this way, but I do. I'm jealous. I'm competitive. And
I hate when I feel that way too.
God, because you know, it's a waste of your energy
and
you feel petty and gross about it. And I'd be like, you know, this person's totally unknown and they got a talk show. And it would just make me bananas. And my shrink was like, here's the good news. The good news is, you know, when you look at your feelings of jealousy, you know, it really guides you towards, oh, this is something that I really want for myself. And you sort of take that lesson and you focus on that, on how you are going to create it for yourself, not being pissed that the other person has it. Because I could sit there and say, how did this woman get on this talk show? I've never heard of her before. You know,
right.
There's a woman that got a talk show that's not out yet. And by the way, she could be fabulous. Her name is, Trisha Goddard. Okay. That's my point. Right. I was like, who? Like when my business. John Carlo was like, so these are the shows that got picked up for, I think it's 2012. I can't remember. And he's like, this one, Trisha Goddard. And I was like, who is Trisha Goddard? And I remember I was just, I was pissed for like the entire week. I'm like, I've never even heard of her. Like, I don't know who she is. No one knows who she is. Like, how does that happen? And apparently she's a British talk show host that's very popular in Britain. So, of course, our caller may have heard of her. with that said, I was jealous. I was so jealous and I hated it. I was like, I hate that I'm jealous. This is such a gross feeling. But it allowed me to go, all right, you know what? This is something that I still know that I want for myself, whether it's the most, because, you know, everyone says, oh, daytime doesn't make any money. There are no ratings in daytime. Daytime is dead. Daytime's not where you want to be. But I still do. Apparently I still do because I'm jealous. It's still something I want to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought after the doctors, I was like, no, I'm done with this. It's not my audience. You know, you can't be who you really want to be, blah, blah, blah. But now I realize, okay, you know what? I still do want to pursue this. I still think that if it was my show, if it was the Jillian Michaels show, I would at least, even if it got zero ratings, I know that I could put a quality show on the air or something. I think I would make better television for, you know, my five viewers or whatever it might be. You know, and at least I learned that. So I think look at what the lesson is. Now you know what you want. Instead of looking at your friend and being jealous that she has it, channel that energy into going after it and getting it for yourself. That's the only way to make this better. Stop comparing. Look at what the jealousy has taught you and channel that energy into action. Because we can spend a lot of time being jealous. Let me tell you, I spent a whole week being jealous, pissed, talking my shrink's ear off, talking Heidi's ear off, talking my business partner's ear off. And it's like, for what? What did I accomplish? Nothing. I wasted a week of my life with sleep. I lost sleep. Stupid. So channel that energy that you spend on jealousy and hating and really pour it into action in your own life. Because even when you think about it, when people hate on other people, they're just jealous of something that person has. You might think they don't deserve that thing that they've gotten. Maybe, but you're still jealous of it. You hate on them because you might think they're not worthy of it. You might think you're more deserving. You might think whatever, but you are still envious. You still want it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I can look at the people in my life that I have. I don't like to publicly hate on people, but I definitely have my private hating moments on certain infamous celebrities that I don't like. And I think to myself, no, I genuinely don't like that person. I genuinely don't like what they stand for or the message they send, but I'm jealous of things they may have achieved with a message that I don't think is worthy.
Yes.
You know, and again, it comes back to me just being envious. If I had it myself, I probably wouldn't give a crap what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So the key is to focus on your own success, and then the jealousy goes away and the comparison thing, stop, because you'll lose. You will lose. You cannot win when you compare. You will lose.
Okay, can we do another email?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, this is from Amanda. And there's now, and Amanda's got a great, but the reason I wanted you to do this one, because I think it's we're in the middle of summer and people are traveling.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah.
When you travel to visit family
yeah.
who haven't adapted much of a healthy eating style, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And it's difficult knowing, because you know when you're going in there what they're eating. How can she approach the topic without hurting or offending them? Like, you're going there and you don't want to be rude. Especially with family.
I wouldn't approach the topic at all.
Well, what if they say, okay, come and sit down. It's dinner. It's barbecue time. Here, have this greasy thing.
Then here's what I would say. You communicate your needs ahead of time. So it's, hey, guys, this is really important to me. This is really my focus. I want to lose weight. If you're already healthy, though, they probably know this. You know, it'd be so meaningful to me if you could support me in the following ways. And then give them examples. Now, I guarantee most people have probably already tried this. And she's probably already tried this, which is why she's emailing this question. And if that is the case, it's not something you broach. Here's what you do. You go to the supermarket and you buy your own food and you cook it yourself. Period.
Don't you think? But what she's saying is, how do you do that without hurting their feelings or offending them? If I came and saw relatives that I hadn't seen in 2 years and I said, oh, sorry, Aunt Mavis, I'm just going to, here's my food that I'm going to cook. You go ahead and eat.
I'd say, guys, I'm on this strict diet because I'm training for something, or I'm on, you know,
okay,
you know me,
I'm good.
On my strict diet, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to be an imposition to anyone. Could you take me to the market? And by the way, would anybody like me to cook? If anybody wants to join me, they're welcome. If not, I totally understand. That's it.
Oh,
it's
that's
like,
good.
It's the same issue as going to, you know, to a certain extent, of going to the restaurant and asking for the food cooked a certain way. Nobody wants to be an imposition. Like, if communicate your needs and then tell people how to help you. If your family's not supportive, then you set up boundaries and you don't communicate your needs and you don't ask them to be a part of it. And you just take care of yourself without judging them or incorporating them in any way, shape or form.
No, but that was good. It's like taking something, you're embellishing it. Well, in a way, you're not really embellishing the truth. You're telling the truth that you're on your own thing, but Addie, making it sound like you're training for something.
Well,
takes
you could
away the
lie,
hurt.
But
well,
yeah.
It takes away the hurt, because the people will be offended. Some people do get very hurt.
That is not your problem. That is their problem. Then they're offended because they're projecting their own feelings of insecurity because they know they're not taking care of their own health. I have a million people come and stay with me that are vegan, that are, bodybuilder. I don't actually know a lot of bodybuilders.
Yeah, but
I have had a bodybuilder stay at my house, and they eat in crazy ways, and I have no problem accommodating people.
You don't, but
I don't, because I don't have issues with the way that I eat. It's their problem, not yours, unless you're judging them.
You are a very intelligent and informed person. I'm talking about when you go and see the relative who maybe is out in the woods.
Yeah, but they should know that's your thing. What do they care how you take care of your body unless they're feeling insecure about how they take care of their own? And once again, it's their problem. Now, if you show up and you say, I can't believe the way you guys eat, it's disgusting. Well, yeah, then they're going to be offended.
Right, right.
But if you're like, hey, you know, you guys know how I get on my health kicks and I can get a little extreme and I don't want to impose get into my own thing and I don't want to impose on anybody. Do you mind if I don't want to impose on you? Do you mind if I, blah, 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 can you take me to the store? End of conversation. Can you take me to the store? And, you know, if anybody cares to join me, I'd be happy to cook for two. If not, I completely understand. End of conversation. Done. You're taking care of yourself. You're not judging them. They shouldn't judge you. And if they do, it's their problem. Not yours. Sorry, I make no apologies here.
No, that's good. No, Matt, but I understand. I get how Amanda feels.
I know you do, and that's why I am not letting go, because you are queen of.
Yes, I would probably eat the crap.
Codependency.
You're right. I would go to the relatives, and I would eat the bad food.
Codependent.
Well, this isn't about me. This is about Amanda going on a trip.
But it is about you, too, clearly, because you're identifying with Amanda.
I totally identify with her.
Yeah,
I completely identify.
You guys are being codependent. You are.
Poor Amanda's now in a codependent relationship with me. She didn't even sign up for it. Poor thing. Amanda,
that's not so
I'm
bad.
So sorry.
I could think of worse things. She's codependent. She's sorry, too, that you're in a relationship with her.
I know. Okay. What? Oh, God. Hey, you know what? We should say goodbye.
Fine, I will. I actually will.
Yeah, all right.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.